But my brother has started believing in God, both of them.
Okay.
They pray. And my little brother, he's starting to be a doctor. He told me that if it turns out to be correct what you're predicting in our society, what will happen,
yeah.
then I'll come to Kenya and live again. And I had like 1,000 messages of Kenyan girls asking for my brother.
Mm.
But to them, I say that, you know, stand in queue, there's only one, I don't know.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know why white men are so popular with for many girls. Maybe it's the money.
They're trying to escape poverty, man.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, go. Ekonene. Episode 309 tukisema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend, sindio?
Yeah.
Na leo tukona ule mse, kome kuwa masaid za TikTok, most probably ushamcheki. Jina yake full ni Christopher Troysen, sindio?
Yeah, niaje.
Yeah, but on TikTok...
The only thing I understood there was sindio. I don't speak the
same. Yeah, I know.
I'll get TikTok, Leo.
On TikTok, it's curious and... chaos and curiosity.
Yeah, I just changed it and my girlfriend said it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Curious and Crazy is my general name.
Okay.
But Chaos and Curiosity is the TikTok name.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why do you think you're chaotic and curious?
Well, you know, people always say curiosity is a good thing and children, oh, he's so curious.
Yeah,
curiosity
yeah.
led me to, you know, the highest peaks and highest mountains, but also the deepest cracks in earth. Mm. And, you know, I saw and experienced some extremely evil stuff and... Mm. Did some nasty stuff myself also, you know, so we all know the saying, curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
Watch out when you play with fire, if you're curious.
Okay, so yeah. like you tried to go up a mountain or something?
No, I was just speaking in symbols, but, myth, you know, but I did went up a mountain once with my little brother.
Okay.
When we were like 14, a mountain in Ireland, and we were just like, we're going to scale it straight up. We didn't follow the path.
Mm.
And we just thought we had to reach the top and then we were finished. But we were like 14. We didn't think we had to go all the way down.
Yeah.
So we were so tired that we found this mud, you know, the water runs down. It creates this mud sled down.
Mm.
And we just slide it all the way down. It was one of the funniest things I ever did with my brother.
Mm.
So, Nicholas, if you're watching, let's go do that again in Ireland someday.
Okay. Because that's some, like... I'd say crazy white people stuff. Like, that's the shit we don't do. Like, even, like, when I read about Mount Everest, and I hear, like, as you climb Mount Everest, you just go through bodies and bodies of people who are trying to do that shit. The first time I see a body, the second, I'm like, okay, that's enough. It's time to go back.
It's such a sham. They get people to carry their stuff. They pay, like, $1 million.
Yeah.
It's not really Mount Everest. It's kind of a status climb, I would say.
Yeah.
And very few die. It's quite safe.
Mm.
But I don't know, Nina Pindahatadi, I've bad risk. When I evaluate risk, I always evaluate, like, that's not dangerous, fine.
Let's
go to Bulongo.
Because Mount Everest, I don't want to know how many. I think it's a lot of people that die. Like you'll meet a lot of bodies.
Mm.
And now what happens is, because of the cold, the bodies are trapped in ice. Then at some point, when the ice is defrosting, then you just find, like, a bunch of dead bodies.
And they don't get older. They still look...
Yeah.
Because there's no bacteria.
There's one iconic one, like some guy in a jacket. It's all over social media.
I would at least smile if it was me. So my frozen dead body would be laughing and happy, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would just be smiling as I was dying.
Okay, let's see. Okay, so Nepal is home to 8 of the world's highest peaks and welcomes hundreds of people each spring. Last year, more than 600 climbers made it to the summit of Everest, but it was also the deadliest with 18 fatalities.
That's crazy, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought it was kind of like a sham, but it sounds not. 18 out of 600 is an insane
it's
high
crazy.
Number of deaths.
Very high.
But that's such a weird thing, actually, when it comes to that. Because my parents have always been very, like, watch out what you do, you know, because they always thought I took so much risk.
Mm.
So, you know, if I go do, like, climb a mountain because I feel like it, I will not just put myself in stress. My parents will be stressed. My family will be stressed. So it's always been a big deal with me. How do I navigate?
You know? Yeah.
And I think that if it's in your heart to do something, then it's just your destiny.
Yeah.
Even if it's risky and they have to accept that.
Mm-hmm. So you're a risk taker, yeah?
Yeah.
That's how you classify yourself.
Yeah, but I don't see it as that, but other people see it as that.
Mm-hmm. Like even, I'd say even just deciding to come live in Kenya, it's a risk. Like you're from Denmark.
Yeah.
Free college education. I'm thinking free medical health.
Yes.
Why the fuck come here?
Because it's perfectly economic. Everything's economically perfect.
Yeah.
Everything you see in this world that is not spiritual, materialistically, is perfect. But at the same time, people are extremely unhappy. People have anxiety, much higher than ever before. You have suicide rates, you have depression, you have Sim 2 stuff going on everywhere. You have divorcements would really, you know, F up the children. You know, you're not allowed to hit a child, but you're allowed to divorce as parents, and that disturbs the child a lot. There's so many problems spiritually. And so when people have a problem, they don't pray. They go to a psychologist. And they found out in psychology, the only thing that works is actually just talking about the problems.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not really spiritual problems. So
you want to smack a child?
No, but my girlfriend does. And the start, I was like, you know, man. She's like, Fala manga. I'm like, damn, I'm happy I'm not her child. Yeah. But my father used to, you know, beat me. But in Denmark, they don't do that. Actually, I got beaten a little bit. It wasn't that bad, but I was very badly behaved.
Yeah.
And the teachers told my father that they would remove the child. The child, but they warned him, like, we're going to go to the state or something. Because I told the teachers, oh, yeah, my father smacks me if I do something bad. But down here, it's completely...
Yeah, normal.
Did your mother hit you?
Yep, my mom whooped my ass. My dad never whooped my ass.
Yeah, it's the mother's job.
Yeah, it's the mother's job. I feel because... children will naturally hold grudges with their dads, but not their mothers.
That's very interesting, because I've been thinking about, should I, you know, or not. My girlfriend said that if the child continues, then in the end it's the father.
Yeah. So the father is supposed to be the last resort. So my dad, I think my dad in the first world would have been classified as abusive, because all he used to do was threats. So he'd just be there hiding behind a newspaper. And then he'd be like, if I stand here, I'm going to kill someone. Then he goes back to behind the newspaper. Never did anything, never hit anyone.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Like, coming from an African family, you find that most people are beaten by their dads. I was never beaten by my dad.
But I don't see the problem, because since the dawn of time, every single tribe, you go back, your father's beaten even worse.
Yeah.
And they are fine. And they are maybe tougher. I think maybe it installs some toughness in the child. Which you kind of want to do in a boy, especially.
Yeah.
More than a girl, you want to keep women, you know, soft. But I actually made a video about that, but I didn't upload it because you could hear my wife beating my child in the background. But it's not that bad. It's just she had like a shoe. It was plastic. It sounded like she was doing, you know, with a cane.
How old is the kid?
5.
Oh, the kid is going to be there like, he should have saved me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so you moved to Kenya when?
I moved to Kenya like 7 months ago. Six, 7 months ago, yeah.
Okay. Why?
I came here because, well, I was living in Copenhagen. I was living a fine life. I was studying. I studied different things. And I always had interest in many things. But I was sitting in my room and I was listening to a lot of Alex Jones, but many things. I've always been thinking very radically.
Okay.
And I was a Christian. So when I went to church there in Copenhagen, 10 o'clock it was in Polish, 12 o'clock in Russian, then it was in Italian, and then English like 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And there was no Danish people. So I felt alienated. Of course, my friends, you know, but I felt like nobody's Christian here. Nobody believes in God. People are doing stuff that is so destructive, there's no words for it.
Yeah.
And the real danger is new ideas. Okay. And I want to unpack that, why I thought that. And I was maybe a little paranoid. But my idea was that, you know, Carl Jung said ideas have people, people don't have ideas.
Yeah.
So ideas, like when the belief system of God died after the Enlightenment, then we had Nazism in Germany, fascism in Italy, communism in Russia, all these new ideas, and they lead to destruction. Like the Nazi idea led to 7 million Jews dying.
Yeah.
So now we have an idea that has all the traits of a totalitarian idea that destroys in every single way. They're literally just gathering all the unhappy people. The Sim 2 guys, the dwarfs, the people that shift gender, God bless them, you know, all kinds of weird people, and gathering them together in one group, taking that one group of people and, you know, kind of using pride, the deadly sin of Lucifer, because it's called gay pride. There's no coincidence in lies and in words ever.
Mm.
So that also, when I read George Orwell's novel, I got really paranoid, where he speaks about how if you control what people can say, like you can't say anything on the podcast anymore, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you control what they can say, yet they're like, I won't say that. You think the same ways as you speak. So suddenly when you're about to think something, you're like, and you don't go there. And that's, we all know, it's the destruction of every society. That's what Jordan Peterson and other people are against, is as soon as you start controlling that speech, you control the thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot call a trans woman, which is a man, a man. Mm. So people end up believing that. That's another thing that's so fucking insane. Like, how can you, I think they're just trying to mess with people's mind.
Yeah.
Like, because it's one of the most concrete things in reality is a man is a man, a woman is a woman.
Yeah.
You shake that, people, they don't have anywhere to stand.
Mm.
But I can continue on with that for like an hour.
But how is that? Because I think that's more of an American problem than a European problem. Is that in
Europe, like Denmark? As much. In Scandinavia, it's even more.
Yeah.
You know, like in my friend, he went into the class and he was working there as a teacher. In the class, they were like 12 years old. Three of the girls were changing genders. Now, spiritually, it's demonic. But practically, cutting off the breasts. She can never breastfeed the child. We all know that women that do not breastfeed the child has worse life outcomes. Give them hormones. They get a beard like you and I.
Yeah.
And, you know, the suicide rates are like 50%. Which is insane, and they say that the suicide rates are high because they're not accepted. Life is about becoming who you are. That is the number one thing Jung, he understood. It's, he called it the process of individuation.
Yeah.
So when you become the other gender, you could not go more wrong in life.
Yeah.
That's how I see it, at least.
Okay, that's messed up, because I always thought...
And that's why I came.
Yes, I always thought this was a... liberal America problem.
Yeah.
Understand? Like, this is something, this is something I'm bound to face in New York, New Jersey, California, more than even I'm about in Texas. You understand? So with that, I didn't expect like Europe to just be following that American wave, because I feel like it's become more of a Hollywood agenda than anything. You feel like Hollywood really pushes it
in movies and everything.
Yeah.
And even in songs, like when I studied hypnosis. Look, I'm a paranoid guy, but I also find the truth, you know? When you have a society, the first people that scream when things are going wrong is the crazy people.
Yeah.
But in hypnosis, you want to distract, you want to bypass the critical mind. So let's say you're watching a Cardi B music video. Eh? You're seeing her nyash. You're watching it. So that's where your conscious mind is, your filter.
Yeah.
Now, in the background, there has all these ancient symbols. I analyze some of them. They're like Greek mythological symbols that manipulate your unconscious mind. And in songs, the song is playing, you're looking at Hanyash, and while the hook is there and the emotion is at its highest, that's where they plant the seed. And they, who watches this? 14-year-old, 13-year-old girls. What does she talk about? Money, sin, pride, sin, cheating, sin, sex, sin, lust, sin. She's basically just all the, you know, the sins. So, that's why I moved, because I don't want my children exposed in a society like that.
Yeah. So, and how is the politics in Denmark? Is it divided on that? Like, a woman is a woman, a man is a man?
So, the statistics, it has been increasing a lot. But in Denmark, people were very much against it. But it's basically just political correctness. So, you know, we could make jokes in the 80s that we can't make now.
Yeah, I know.
Legislation of speech is just going one direction.
Mm.
I saw a statistic where it was like my generation, 7% was like LGBTQ, the alphabet people.
Yeah.
And my brother's generation, he's like 12, it's like 28%.
Yeah.
So it's increasing exponentially. It's the end of times. It will be the last. It's the Antichrist ideology. You unpack it and you just see evil there.
Okay. Yeah. And it's also interesting to see someone from Scandinavia who's religious.
Yeah.
Why are you still religious?
Why I am religious? Well, it came from me experiencing absolute evil. And I thought, in reality, everything exists in an equal and opposite.
Yeah.
So when I was traveling, I saw some stuff. I don't know if I should mention that because it's so evil. But I saw some stuff that was just beyond evil. And it shocked me to the core.
What did you see?
I saw human trafficking.
Okay.
Because I met actually a Tahitian girl down here, Frida, And she was one of them that also kind of, it's like, I see it as God, he made me walk that path. Like the things all were, you know, not coincidental, I don't think. But I was with this Tahitian girl in New Delhi when I was there. And she got forced to be a prostitute in the country. So
that's in India now.
Yeah, in India. She went there, they took a passport, forced her to be a prostitute. They're extremely racist in India. You know, if she would go into an Uber car, I would be like, they would be like, get the fuck out, nigga, you know? And then I would come and they'd be like, sorry, sir, the Hanjavad, GG. So they're extremely racist. And through her and some friends, it's very personal because it's related to her, so I don't know how much I want to say about it, but I experienced and I saw human trafficking and stuff like that. It's absolutely evil. And I just felt this was so evil. I didn't understand how people could do that. And that made me think. And she had like a small Bible book in her bed, which I took and I read. And that's how it started.
So where is she now?
She's happily married to an Indian man and saved in India, and she's saved in every way possible. And she has a child coming on the way. Frida, if you're watching, I love you. She brought me to God but she inspired me to go to Kenya.
Okay.
She was like, there's a country more crazy than India. And I was like, wow. Because I love that stuff. And she said, Kenya and Africa.
Okay. But Kenya, I think we're very welcoming to foreigners.
Yeah.
We don't have that bullshit. I don't think we have, like, no Kenyan will attack an Indian for being an Indian,
you know?
Yeah, no, we don't do that.
Kenyans are so welcoming, really, you know.
Being xenophobic.
Xenophobic?
Xenophobia.
Or fear of other.
Of people from different people. Yeah, we don't have that.
Yeah, you know, that was really, India was crazy. I even was illegal in the country because I overwent my visa. And in India, that's just it. Normally you just pay, I've traveled many places, you just pay a fine and you go like a couple of days over. Here you cannot fly or anything, so I was awake for like 3 days trying to get out of the country, asking people that worked in different arts parts of the airport stuff. And I had to sleep outside the airport. You're not allowed to go in before like 7 hours before your ticket, your plane. And I remember when I came home, I was like hearing voices because I hadn't slept and so much noise. I went to sleep in my father's bed and I was just seeing like
Okay. And what does your is your father religious?
My father's not religious. My mother, she grew up Catholic, but she doesn't really. Nobody where I come from, not one person. People, they're like, I tell this on my TikTok, I have never met a Christian person in Denmark. I met Muslims, but the young Muslims, they have their own, you know, stuff. But I love my Muslim brothers, alhamdulillah. But nobody believes in God.
Okay.
Just like in
but
the end
it's times. Like one of the best countries in the world. So why?
It is.
Why add element, a medieval element to it? Because you know, God is man, medieval man trying to understand the world. Yes.
Medieval.
Yes.
Kwanini, like, is he medieval?
Medieval. I'd say
like medieval times.
Yes. The primitive human trying to understand the world was like, you know what? There's this light, the sun. And this sun just lights up Earth. And there has to be someone who switches it on and off.
Because
we didn't know about time zones and everything.
Yeah.
The Earth is flat. Blah, blah, blah. You understand? Like, we had that. And that's why we needed a God.
Yeah.
But now through science, we've been able to understand a lot of stuff that happened for us to be where we are right now. So why still go back to that medieval explanation? Considering also how much harm religion has done.
Yeah.
Because religion has been good, but it also been very bad, and a lot of atrocities have been made in the name of God. Understand?
Let me take one point at a time. So first of all, the thing is, many people look at the Bible in a literal sense, but it's studied a lot by philosophers and psychologists because it's really subjective. You see, our existence is subjective. You're a subject, I'm a subject. It's not objective.
Yeah.
Science is the study of the objective. The Bible, all the stories, is mythological. Like, if there's a story of a guy that kills a dragon and so on, it's not about him killing the dragon. The dragon symbolizes the problems deep down in our unconscious mind.
Yeah.
You have to face your problems straight on as a man and overcome the anxiety. They are true. It's stuff like that. So the Bible, the stories, is the greatest way to convey the wisdom. Now, the Bible has predicted emotional problems that we have like now in the West.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing I said, in the end of times, man will be with man, women with women, it'll be all lust and no love.
Mm.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's 2,000 years ago. And there's many other quotes.
Mm.
So they predict the future. And science has, you know, said the earth is not, you know, this, the earth wasn't made in 3 days and so on. I also have a lot on, like, evolution. I don't believe in, I believe in some of it, but not macro evolution. But, you know, so it's not to be taken literal. That's the Bible is a genius book when it comes to the understanding of us.
Okay.
So that's my last point, is that science is great at understanding the outer world, the materialistic world, but not us. Yeah. You don't want to ask a neurologist about life advice. You want to ask an old wise man that lived life. Mm. You see?
Mm.
There's a difference. And it's okay. Because they have so low faith in the Bible, you know, in the scientific people. They don't have faith in anything. So they have to see it.
Yeah, you have to see it to believe it. Like, yeah. Like even the same thing you've said about asking advice from older people. I've, like, people know me on this podcast. I always say, there's a lot of shit I know that my grandma doesn't.
Mm.
Like, I feel like my grandma's, it depends with the older person you're talking to, how much of the world have they seen.
Yeah.
Because their reality and my reality is very different.
Mm.
Because if, I come from a village called Koguta, yes?
Yeah.
So, any old person who's never left Koguta knows very little about the world. They just know about Koguta, and they know about Luo culture within the village.
But isn't the problems like out, love and stuff the same, you know? The emotional stuff is the same.
It's also different because now we're dealing with, I'll be dealing with the modern woman. My grandfather is dealing with the old school woman.
Mm.
And the old school woman was more in touch with her feminine side. You know, they just embraced that. And that means even marriage was easier for them.
Yeah.
The modern woman has the battle between modernity and femininity.
Mm.
Where should I be more female and submit and do all this stuff that's going to keep my marriage intact?
Mm.
Or should I be independent and be like more like the Western woman? And you know, the Western woman is, I don't know, but marriage in the Western world is
not working very well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what happens when you start doing stuff that we have done since the dawn of age. You start changing stuff, problems arise. Now, how men, so we remember faith moves mountains. So if you really believe something, it will be your reality, right?
Yeah.
So in the West, they tell people, if you are a Sim 2, you're born that way. There's no change.
Yeah.
You're just like that. They ban conversion therapy. You're not allowed to even try not be either.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in psychology, there's something called the mother complex. If you have a masculine mother, she's going to put an evil spirit in you, a feminine spirit, that will make you, you know, feminine, walk around like that.
Yeah.
And if you don't forgive her, you'll be a homosexual.
Mm.
And, you know, it's called the mother complex in Jungian psychology. So you suddenly have the West. What are they doing? You just said it. The women are more masculine. Suddenly there's more gay people.
Mm.
Suddenly, but they are, you know, they want people to be gay. So they're like, but you are gay. Don't change it. That's the way you are. You're born like that. You ask gay person, they'll always be like, I was born like that. They'll even get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Just like asking a woman that had an abortion, you know, do you think it's bad? They'll get so angry because deep down they feel guilt.
Mm. Okay. 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 So, as someone who's lived in the Western world and seen how things are right now, is there hope for marriages in the Western world? Because I feel like marriages are not working out mostly in like a lot of Christian countries with high education levels, for example, like a place like Kenya.
Mm.
And the reason is we've copied the West too much.
Mm.
And the West came up with this thing where anything a man can do, a woman can do, and blurred the lines. So now you have women who are confused, because when it comes to building bridges, you'll find it's men building bridges and doing all these risky jobs. Yes. But now when it comes to office jobs, women can do what men can do. And now we take the same attitude into the marriage, and with the marriage doesn't work, because naturally, this is how I normally look at it, there's no man who wants to settle. Yes, men, we love being free, you know. But it takes a woman to make us want to settle. They're like, okay, if she's going to do all bring this feminine energy where she turns this house into a home.
Yeah.
Yes, there's reason to get married. But if she's also bringing in masculine energy, now it's like in Swahili, it said is what? Ng'ombe wawili, fahari wawili, kwa zizi moja. Like two male bulls cannot survive in one stable. Yes, So now we have a problem where marriage has become too westernized and it's not working out because it's more about the ceremony, the wedding, than the actual institution.
Absolutely.
And I blame this on the West.
Yeah, and you know, it says in the Bible, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, which really means that there's like an evil spirit. My brother asked me, where's all these evil people doing this stuff? You know, music videos, manipulating people, turning people towards evil. Mm. It's an evil spirit, or you can call it an evil energy, for example. So, you know, just like if I behave evil, you know, I betray you, you'll feel your own hate and anger. You see, I put the darkness in you. So, and marriage is also for the child. You know, we all know psychologically children do terrible when their parents, they divorce. And, you know, children with single mothers, single fathers do terribly. Imagine having two fathers, two mothers.
Yeah.
And they're normalizing it. They're saying it's normal, it's fine, abortion's fine. So it's end times. It's a ship sailing towards the world's end. And I basically jumped off it, came down here, and I'm like, nice, I like your guys' ship. Yeah.
Okay. And how long, have you lost any phone? Because I always see you in the middle of town, and I'm like, this guy does not know like Robbie.
That's why one thing in Christianity I want to preach and tell is many Christians are like righteous. You know, you see them, they're all perfect. I don't curse, I don't laugh, I don't do anything. I believe the best thing to do against demons is laugh. But it says in the Bible, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And it really means, it's the most quoted thing in the Bible, you shall not have fear. And that's because when you vibrate different things, that's why in the podcast you say like, oh, we're vibing. Because reality is in words. When you're vibing with somebody, you're on the same vibration. We have brain waves. So if you're vibrating fear, it's like a fish bleeding in the water. The shark's gonna smell the blood.
Yeah.
So when I walk through Githarai, a Chumla Longo, with the gangsters I made a video with, and I walk like a boss, and I have absolutely no fear because God comforts me, then nothing will happen, and nothing has ever happened. Everywhere I ever went, this is a true story, I would go to New Delhi, I'd ask everybody, where should I not go? And I would go there, and I would meet the nicest people, because they'll never see a guy come there. So that's how you discover places. If you want good adventure, go places and ask people where not to go, and then go there.
Okay.
That would be my advice.
Okay.
So my phone has not been stolen, but I just don't have to. If I say like I'm coming to get the I-45 at 11:02 Wednesday, I think maybe they'll stand there. But other than that, I met a lot of nice people.
Okay. Because those are risks and I'm taking. Oh, he called it. Oh, shit.
Maybe they don't dare to rob Muzungus.
Yeah, I think there's also that where they are like, if this guy is here, there has to be some form of security around.
But they rob women more than men. So it's based on fear. Girls will walk fearful, you know, with anxiety, and they'll be weaker. You guys, maybe if I stole your phone, you'd be more like, hey, don't do that. You'll chase me.
Like so, I think there's a video that's been going around, I don't know if you watched it, where some guy went into a phone store and grabbed a phone and tried to run away with it. You watched it? And it's just out there just getting molested. Like he was beaten up.
They burn people here.
Yeah, I
saw a guy getting beat up and I could feel, it was weird, I was in my hotel room and I could just, there was outside, there's always no noise in Nairobi, but I could just feel something. And I would go out to the window and they're like beating the street guy, beating him up. And they were about to burn him.
Yeah. That's the extreme.
Which you shouldn't do because you should forgive.
Yeah. It's not even a Christian thing. Like, I just don't kill people on the streets with a phone. I understand the anger. Just don't burn some. And there's a certain level of where I'm like, no, we need to relax. We need to channel this anger into something more. And what have you learned about the Kenyan political scene? Like,
political.
The politics. Because you see now, you're a Christian. So I feel like Kenya is over Christianized, but maybe you feel different coming from a country that's not religious. By over Christianized, I feel like the president is always asking us to pray. I don't want to pray. I need solutions. So. They're like, you know,
few, I guess you don't have faith in God.
Yeah, or you do. I'm the minority. Like, yeah, in Kenya, we're the minority. Like,
so a politician, he's just gonna speak to the masses.
Mm.
But you know, scientifically, religious people have less psychological problems than non-faithful people. So just that's what Carl Jung said. He said religion creates psychological health. Mm. Let's say somebody robs my house, I'll not just get my stuff stolen, I'll be angry for 10 years. Eh? Yeah. But if I forgive them, the anger is suddenly gone. You see, Jesus Christ, this is the genius of him. Just see it from like wisdom or psychologically. You got betrayed, that's really bad, being betrayed. He got stabbed, killed, whipped, humiliated, and yeah, eventually killed, but no emotional impact. He was not angry. Mm. He was not sad. He was not fearful. So you see, inside he had no effect, but outside there was an absolute storm. Yeah. And that's why in Christ you can be fearless and completely untouchable. Nobody can touch you emotionally. You forgive them and you love them and they don't make you sad inside. And suddenly you walk with this warrior spirit, but you still have peace, which is the ultimate man in my perspective.
Okay, because now this is interesting, because now another way to look at it is Denmark, and not religious, not corrupt. Kenya, religious, one of the most corrupt countries on earth.
Yeah.
Because I also feel like religion shields you from accountability. You see, now if I can convince enough people, I don't worry about this corrupt guy. God will punish him. You see? You on the other side, grab the corrupt guy, throw him in prison. You see the difference now? Understand? Like, I'd rather have that, even if a lot of people are sad. Because sad is also, I feel like it's on such an individual level that you can still be non-religious and not have psychological problems.
The thing I would say, I would agree with you, but what I have experienced is like the main crossroads of everything is when suffering comes your way. When life sucks, that's where you can either get, because somebody's going to make you suffer. Somebody's going to do something, say something.
Yeah.
When you suffer, you can either feel vengeful, hateful. It leads to self-harm. It leads to all these things. It's just a negative downward spiral. Or you can forgive and avoid going down there and go towards the way of Jesus Christ, with forgiveness and compassion, and you go to heaven. Or you can see heaven and hell as, you know, a good feeling or a bad feeling. So I really believe, you know, those things can be determined. Something bad happens to a person. 1 year later, they can be wiser. 1 year later, they can be fucking angry and hateful.
Yeah.
You know those type of people. They hate everybody. They think everybody's out to get them. They're jealous. They're angry. They're toxic. Because they didn't. They went down the wrong road. So, okay. Yeah, but it's a big thing. Corruption is a huge problem. And I kind of don't understand poverty. First time I went to Nyahururu, a guy had a scale on the street, you know, a weight scale. And I was like, well, I'm going to weigh myself nice. And then he said I had to pay. And I was so surprised. I would never think a person would hustle like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't understand poverty. It's hard for me to speak about it. But Jesus Christ was a carpenter and suffering leads to salvation. So
I
think more poor people go to heaven than the rich.
And so how do you feel about abandoning your gods?
Thor.
Yeah.
Valhalla.
Well, I love them. And the Danish people, they talk a lot about, you know, that. They'll be like, let's be Vikings. And they'll drink for 3 days. They don't really do that. Then Danish people actually drink at the earliest age. We start when we're like 15 or 14.
Okay.
But we can't drink like Kenyan women, for example. Like I have, when I came down here first, I met 3 girls. And they started drinking. And I went to Mombasa and I came back. And it was a very short trip and they were still drinking. And I thought they had slept during the night. They said, no, we did not sleep. They were awake for 3 days drinking. 60 kg small Kikuyu girls drinking like bottles of whiskey. I would overdose and die. So I've never seen that in my travels.
Okay.
I don't know if that hit a soft spot.
So are there like Danish people that still worship Thor?
Very few. Look, I'm such a crazy guy. I was into that Nordic mythology. I even was into that. And I read a lot about witchcraft and stuff. And that's where I learned a lot about how, you know, they manipulate the ether. How they, you know, but this is, you know, a whole nother thing. But yes, and they used to do witchcraft and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're like someone in Denmark who believes in witchcraft.
Yeah. The people that believe in witchcraft are 14-year-old girls on TikTok. They're basically doing sex magic which is an ancient occult ritual used in the Mayan side, the Egyptian side, used everywhere. You see, these societies were different than ours, but they're not stupid. They don't do something for 500 years if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I can explain sex magic really fast. There's, first of all, you remember the brain waves and the vibes, huh?
Mm.
So our brains, there's something called the collective unconscious. So all our brains are connected with waves. Now, waves is communication. You're looking at the wall. That's a certain wavelength. It's blue. Okay? So you can imagine there's this thing we cannot see, but all our brains are connected all the time. That they call in ancient times the ether, okay? Just the collective unconscious.
Yeah.
Now, you can shoot things into that by with energy, shapes, and colors, and words. Because a witch cast a spell. What did your teacher tell you when you were young? She said, write down, spell something. You yeah. spell a word, you cast a spell. So you use words and symbols, and you shoot them up with magic into the ether, and it comes back and manifests in life. And you can do this for fame and so on, but in reality, you're calling upon spirits, you don't know what to do. So we have 14-year-old girls on TikTok in the West, America, everywhere, inspired by TikTok, writing sigils, ancient symbols, masturbating, and while they come, they shout it out into the ether. They're like, I want to be rich, while they come, literally. And these girls are most innocent beings ever. They have no idea what they're doing. And you know, many of them die in car crash like a month later or something because they're messing with dark entities. So if you're a girl watching and you do that stuff, start praying, because even though you can't see what goes on in the ether, doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
So you watch out for safe words, eh?
Safe words. Can I say that?
No, he's just full of shit. How do your parents think about you being religious? Because I'd be worried. Like, because I feel like you actually believe in this stuff, like these evil dark forces.
100%.
And these what? So how do they feel about that? Because I'd be worried, like personally. Like right now, I'm raising my daughter, and of course, I've let her, like she's still religious, but at some point I need to switch off that mythology. And I feel like, as I keep saying, I feel like religion does more damage. So now, for you to have been raised non-religious and then become religious,
yeah,
how do your parents feel about that?
If you ask my mother, she would say I'm always a seeker, always thinking.
Okay.
But my parents think I'm crazy, which I am a little crazy. I must agree. But, you know, to the thing with God, you know, I just see, you know, if God exists, he's the most complicated thing there is, because he created everything. Sindhu.
Okay.
So how can you, he's going to be the last thing to prove then. So you can't know that he doesn't exist.
Okay.
So in that sense, I see, you know, with your daughter and stuff, I would really consider, because it I know there's a lot of damage done through history with religion, but if you look through history is absurd, and damage is done everywhere in every religion. And I think it's a human concept, not a religious one. I think religion really keeps people from doing harm to each other, and it keeps people in psychologically good health. It keeps society, men, women, and we've seen children with a masculine mother, they get problems psychologically. So it's just, it really is a safety net psychologically for the society. And my parents, well, they think, you know, that I've always been very radical. My mother says, oh, Christopher, you're always so radical, and you know. But they think I'm a little crazy, and they don't believe what I think about the West, that it's about to fall.
Yeah.
But my brothers started believing in God, both of them. Okay. They pray. And my little brother, he's starting to be a doctor. He told me that if it turns out to be correct what you're predicting in our society, what will happen, then I will come to Kenya and live again. And I had like 1,000 messages of Kenyan girls asking for my brother. But to them, I say that, you know, stand in queue. There's only one. I don't know. I don't know why white men are so popular for many girls. Maybe it's the money.
They're trying to escape poverty.
Yeah.
Shit. Like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So that because that has reminded me, when you said about your name, it reminded me of like one of my favorite rappers. It's called Slug. Group called Atmosphere. He has this famous line. Rhyme where he played with the name Christopher Walken. You know the actor Christopher Walken?
No.
Yes, so there's a rapper called Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
So him says, keep Christopher Walken with the shit that you're talking. I always love that shit.
Yeah. That suits me pretty well, I think.
Yeah. Now, you see, this is another counter argument would be this. Like, one of the most developed countries that's super religious is America, yes?
They're not very religious anymore.
But it's still, like, compared to Denmark.
Yes, compared America, to Scandinavia, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the countries with the highest crime rates, America, compared to, like, Scandinavian countries with their non-religiosity have very low crime. So they might have all this other bullshit happening, but the crime level is so low. Like, how many people, how many prisons are in Denmark? I'm thinking there are super few. And are they even full? Because I saw, like, in...
No, so we found out that, you know, when you punish people, they actually do more crime. So in Denmark, we don't punish. We rehabilitate, and it works really well. But in America, they have the most inmates in the whole world.
Yeah, yeah. But so don't you see the advantages of non-religiosity?
Yes, I do agree that, you know, but just because that's one difference, there's many differences. So, you know, if the only difference between Kenya and Denmark, exactly the only difference was that Kenyans were religious and Danish people were not, then I would agree, but there's like a billion differences. And the thing is, our cross is like our flag is a cross. The Swedish flag is a cross. The Finnish flag is a cross. We've been Christian society for millions of years. That's what brought us here.
Yeah.
To like this peak, but it's such a weird time. It's like everything is just, there's no problems. Life is not that, suffering is not that great, but the thing is, everything's relative.
Okay.
So the suffering will find you. And if you have big problems become small. If you have small problems become big.
Yeah.
So I really do think that it's relative. You talk about all this poverty and hardships and so on, but I believe that Kenyan people, on average, have more peace and are more happy. Furaha.
Yeah,
I generally believe that, even though they have less, which is incredibly telling.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
There was a statistic going on some few years ago, and Denmark was voted the happiest nation.
Yeah, in that's correct. But I absolutely don't believe that in any way. I don't, and I don't know how they make a statistic over people's, you know, deep down level of happiness and satisfaction.
I think if
because it's complicated. Happiness is relative. People, they, you know, it's said in the Bible, know thyself. How many people really truly know yourself? I see myself on camera when I'm filming. I'm like that. I'm such an asshole, you know? And I found out things about myself. So how can you rate happiness? It's very difficult. Yeah. And the mind is one of the most complicated things in the world. So I don't believe, I think it's bullshit, to be honest. I come from the country.
You aren't happy with that.
I was not happy with that, but you know, that's a fair statistic. I cannot disprove it, but I believe that it's absolute bullshit.
Yeah, but still, so in Denmark, college students are paid, yes?
Yes, they get money. Yeah, materialistically, the country is perfect. Yeah.
Free medical care?
Yes, corruption is only maybe on the highest levels. The thing that really works well in the system is, it's like everybody's in a boat. So you know, politicians don't give a F about their people. But if a politician, he has a certain amount of money, and that's with the tax. So if people, for example, people become overweight. They go to hospitals, and the state have to pay for the hospitals. So that's a problem for the politicians themselves. So they have an egoistical reason to make people healthy.
Yeah.
So that's how it kind of works. Everybody's in the boat themselves. Even if one guy's an asshole, Machiavellianistic politician, he's still going to care because he doesn't want the boat to go slower. So that's the system. But it's 50% tax.
Okay. So, 50% tax, yeah?
50.
Yeah. So anything you make, 50% goes to the government.
Yeah, it depends a little on high, low income and so on. But it's like 43 to 50 something.
Sure. Yeah.
You earn 100,000, earn 1 mil, they'll take half.
But at least you know if you're sick, you just take your. Okay. And what about housing? Is there.
Housing is very expensive, but everybody's moving to the cities, Sin City. So everybody's moving to the city, and the beautiful girls move to the city. And I see girls studying hard, and girls do better than guys studying. You know, and this is very interesting because this comes to the point of what is the purpose of men and women? You talked about that yourself. Women are becoming more independent. Should they? Are women as smart as men? Yes, cognitively, intelligent. But we all know intelligence is not correlated with wisdom. You can go to some chess player, his IQ is 200, but he can't really have a conversation. he doesn't maybe have friends, and he doesn't really maybe understand the emotional life and social life that exists in you.
Mm-hmm.
So I generally believe that the wisdom in women is much lower than in men. Men can truly think. In alchemy, there's like four planes of thinking. Just look at its symbology. There's earth, which is like your flesh. Then there's wind, which is the sexual, water, which is the sexual lust.
Mm.
And then there's fire, which is the motion. Now, women have so much motion that they can never transcend up to the wind plane, which is thinking. So that's a big problem. But if you give a woman, here's a test score, keep inside these frames, here's what you can do, how you can do it, then they have the same cognitive health, they're just following instructions. But when there's no instructions and there's people and emotions going on, women are terrible at taking decisions. And when you tell your girlfriend, if you're watching and you're from the West, if you tell your girlfriend, hey, I'm going to take a decision for you, I love you, but I believe that's the best way, you'll see her sink down in her chair and a little smile will come on her mouth because she feels good that way. And that's the best relationship. I don't know if you know any relationships where it's female-led.
Mm.
Now, what is the happiness in that marriage? It's low.
Yeah, and
why does a scar look good on a man? Why does a scar look good on a man but not on a woman?
Mm.
It's because if a man has been through stuff, he has thicker skin, he's more of a man. And it's attractive with a man with a scar, but a woman with a scar, it's not. Because you don't want women to have, you know, go through stuff and get thick skin. You want her to be soft and diligent and a beautiful, feminine, loving mother with children. Forever forgiving, like Mother Mary. That's my girlfriend's name, Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had to talk about, I was joking that Ian's relationship is woman driven.
Yeah, it was all from test, man. So I studied like how to pick up women when I was younger, and there's like a lot of manipulative techniques. You know, you basically shit talk and you diss them. It's basically about ruining their ego and increasing yours. It's very evil.
Yeah.
And it's manipulative. But what you find out through that is that women often get turned on by the more narcissistic and psychopathic you are. You know, we all know women that come back to men that beat and stab them, and they keep coming back. Eh? And that's why women should not choose their own men, their fathers should.
Okay, but now this, that's why women shouldn't?
Yeah, because they shouldn't. If you really think about it, now I know this is completely way out, but just think about it with me. That's all I ask you to do. So a girl's father, we all know women, they can choose men, but they often choose bad men, power and money they love. A girl's father, when he was young, he played with boys. He has friends that are men. He did business with men. He has had complications with men. All he has dealt with his whole life is men, and he's a man himself. So who's going to be best at choosing the possible husband for the guy, for the girl? Okay. It's going to be the husband. Now, the second problem with women choosing themselves is women will, if you have one guy, he's righteous, hardworking, a good mechanic, a really good man, and men around him love him. And then there's one guy, he's a psychopath, and he's powerful, and he loves money, and he doesn't give a F about other people. She's going to choose the powerful and power guy, the money guy, every day. Now, that's a problem, because then men will go towards being a powerful, famous money guy, because that's what the women choose. You're going to move out the village because the woman doesn't want to live there, but most men are fine in it. And that's also why cheating is woman. Women cheat in much higher rates in Scandinavia than men. This is statistics.
Oh, okay.
Also, divorces is created by women. And it's not because women, it's not the women's fault. It's just because they're out of control. The women can do what they want, and they destroy themselves and others also. Because the devil, it says in Islam also, the devil speaks to the woman much easier than men. Like the oldest story I was referring to. The snake spoke to Eve, then Eve deceived Adam because Adam loves Eve. And this is an ancient psychological story.
So you're saying the snake spoke to Eve, and then Eve left Trevor. Okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, in the Bible. Oh yeah, okay. Left Trevor, yeah. And to you, I would just say, you know, put your head down. Like a girl, she would test you, like push you. Like many men that have a good relationship, they had like one great argument where the man said, fine, out, I don't care. And they showed that. They showed that they had like a line. And when you do that, you'll see her come back, and you'll see her respect you. Because, you know, in game, women will, we call it shit test in PUA when you pick up women. A woman will say, let's say, oh, how many women do you walk around picking up? Then instead of saying, I don't do that, you say, oh, you're number 5,674. You see, so they will test your character. They'll say something ugly about you, try to find your insecurities. So instead of reacting, that's a loss, you amplify and make fun of it. And you show you're not insecure. So women will test you and test your lines because truly they actually want to find them. Let's say you're in a dark room, you want to find the walls. You're going to go over to them, eh? Now, if you never find the walls, you're going to leave the house. But girls, they will push you and say evil, nasty stuff because they want to find out, where do you say stop? Where are you masculine? As it is in yin and yang, the masculine is order. Order lays things, they lay, you know, what is it called in English? A country, there's two countries, you know, there's a border.
Boundaries,
exactly. Yeah. Mm. Why do we say father in heaven? He's masculine, masculinity lays boundaries. So she's just testing your masculinity, is that the case? And you just lay your boundaries, you'll maybe get upset and cry, but afterwards, you'll find more peace in the relationship and she'll be peaceful in herself also. So she's just trying to find your masculinity.
So how did you meet your woman? Because I'm guessing it's not your dad who chose her.
No, it's not. Because my father, you know, he would laugh at me if I asked that. We met in an elevator, actually. But I don't believe there's any coincidences in life. But I was walking, I was at a hotel outside of Nairobi, and I took the elevator and she was in it. And she does this thing with her mouth. She's very cute. She goes like this. And she was, you know, she's been very poor her whole life. Struggled a lot and so on. And to be honest, when I came down here, I was meeting different women. I was not a good guy. I even met a woman that was like, you know, she didn't kill me, but she could have given me AIDS. She didn't care. But, you know, in the elevator, I just felt this thing. I felt I have to speak to her. And I used to, in my old days when I did PUA, which is bad, pickup artist, I used to always go up to girls on the street. So I kind of am able to. It's very difficult. So in the elevator, we go up and I go to the right. She goes to the left. She's working there. And I'm like, fuck it. And I go back and I'm like, mambo. Because I thought mambo was like nyati. It's like a cool way of saying hey. But it's like mothers say mambo, you know. So I said that. I got her number. We didn't meet again. I went into all kinds of problems. I got poisoned in Nairobi. All kinds of bullshit. And then, or in Chile. And then I went back to Denmark and I was praying one night and I was asking God, I know, because my life is always chaos. And I was like, God, man, this is crazy. My life is insane. You know, what can I have? And I just get this picture in my mind of Mary.
Okay.
And she's this best relationship I ever had. She's feminine. She's beautiful. And I want her to be, you know, the mother of my children.
Okay. Okay. So you said you're poisoned. Like, what happened?
I got drugged. And I'm pretty damn sure it's in Chile. And I went to the hospital and they checked my blood and I had him chilling there. And since that, I have not been able to, you know, I didn't even trust my girlfriend at the start.
Okay.
Like, so I thought.
So you're in a club?
Yeah, I was not in a club. I was in a bar-ish, you know, and I was drinking coffee and in the coffee there was some
chilling. Oh, shit.
Yeah, but it was like afternoon-ish, yeah.
Mm.
But, you know, it says in the Bible, even though you walk, you do not fear anything. Eh?
That's so, Nairobi.
Nairobi, yeah. Nairobi. Yeah. And I believe that's the most dangerous thing. If you're a white guy, you can go anywhere. I lived in Lolongo. I had a girl there for a period, you know, and I just slept in like a small room with like, it was a 4,000 Kenyan shilling room. It was her place. So I just slept there. Yeah. And I walked around in the nighttime. But now, after knowing the gangsters there, if they have seen me in the nighttime, they would have, you know, robbed me and beat me up. So that's not. But I think the most dangerous place in Nairobi is nightclubs for men.
Yeah.
They'll even put it in the, you know, in cigarettes and kissing you and everything.
Yeah, because I saw even like, there's a video that was going around, like on the day we are shooting this, where a man meets a woman in the club, they go home, she just cleaned him out. You know, like they put those drugs and then they just clean you out. So
looks
now,
like rice.
Yeah. That's why it's called mchele, I guess. I don't know. I've not been on the dating scene for long.
Yeah.
Safe out here.
Yeah, I've been. I used to move around. You know, more clubs. Like in my earlier life, I'm just lucky.
Yeah. Because that mchele shit.
I've never been served rice.
That mchele shit is not a joke. But now, a few days ago, your girl was sick. You went to the hospital
yesterday.
So you used to free Medicare in Denmark. So how's the experience here?
Very bad. But you know, I kind of understand that there's a benefit of the corruption. Actually, if you have money, you can do what you want. And this, I'm saying this kind of in a silly, non-serious way.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, I can take a cow in my Buddha Buddha. I can do whatever, and I kind of like that because I do stuff in Denmark where they're like, "Hey, you cannot ride on your motorbike without your helmet, I'm like, okay, brothers, that's not my own decision. So I like that about the country.
Yeah.
But the flip side is that they'll try to get money from you from anything. They will even take a person with cancer, a sweet little innocent girl, and they will overcharge so they can earn money. You know, and earning money on sick people really is nasty. But that's what money does to you. Now, you remember I said symbols and words never lie. On the dollar sign, there's a snake. And there's a, you know, a tree. It's basically a snake in a tree. So, yeah, and that's because money, like, if I gave you enough money, I assure you I could get you to do something you wouldn't want to do. Some deal. And like everybody else. So money turns people evil.
So you're saying the dollar sign is a snake in a tree?
Yeah, you see the dollar sign, there's an S. There's the snake, and you see the lines there. That is basically the snake in the Garden of Eden in the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil.
Never thought about it that way.
Also, the Apple computer. You know, what happened in Adam and Eve? What did they do? They took a bite from an apple, eh?
Okay.
And it was a tree of good and evil. The Apple
logo. Yeah, I had to look at it like, oh shit.
Yeah. I don't think that's a coincidence. I really do not. It makes way too much sense because the tree is the knowledge of good and evil. It's knowledge on how to evolve as humans. And what is the apple? It's the forefront of technological evolution.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
To follow man.
Okay. And then, so what happened? They tried to extort you or why?
No, they just, you know, they said she had problems with this and that that she didn't have. And also, last time I was there, I had like kidney failure or something. And they made it seem much worse than it is. Your kidneys will always be elevated when you're sick. I was very sick. And they were like, if it continues like this, you'll need, you know, your kidneys won't function anymore. And therefore you need like this, you know, drips and this and that you don't need.
Yeah.
So it's just small stuff, but it's still irritating.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then, let's go back to the women issue. Yes.
Yeah.
So you talked about the rise of masculine women. So how's this happening in Scandinavia?
Well, women are becoming much more masculine. You know, I didn't tell that in the podcast, so there's a study done in 1980s. They took the average strength of a handshake of a woman. I don't know the exact amount of pounds. Let's say it was like 80. Okay, but I know the increase. It was like 80 pounds for a woman, eh? And for a man, it was maybe 110. Now, they do it in 2018. And they found out that the woman's handshake is like a couple pounds stronger on average or something like that. So you see it's everywhere. And, you know, in sports, mind is over matter.
Yeah.
So, women are becoming very masculine. But women just do whatever they're told. Still to this day when they're masculine.
Yeah.
They're being pushed. Come on, you can do it. You know, all these songs and influence and so on. They're all about that. Women are just following instructions as they've done for thousands of years. Now, there's few men that think for themselves like me and probably like you and so on that, you know, that change rules. But women are still following the rules like they did in the old days. They're just being told to be something else than that time.
Okay. Even Ian is out there telling me, just shake your ass, just shake your ass.
You get like many Kenyan men wanted to date a white guy. They text me on TikTok. They're like, no, a white girl. Sorry, a white girl. And they're like, oh, I would love one. I'm like, brother, you're going to be fighting. You know, imagine laying boundaries with a masculine woman if it's difficult in Kenya.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're beautiful and they're very hardworking. They'd earn more than you. They're highly educated. How are you going to compete in any way whatsoever? So what happens when I'm in my family, this is personal, but in my family, when we watch TV together and I have my two girls by my side, I feel like I'm valuable. I feel like I protect them and I'll care for them and I'll take care of them, you know, economically and emotionally for the rest of my life. And that gives me such a strong, great feeling. But if your woman is taking care of everything also, you know, it kind of fucks that balance up. And it kind of takes away the meaning of the guy's job. And I saw some other Kenyan podcasts with women speaking about how it is to be a man. And one girl was on there saying, oh, my man, he lost his job. And he acted all weird because he felt uncomfortable that he couldn't provide for the family. And she was like, masculinity should find other ways to be helpful. And I'm like, woman, if you can't provide for your damn daughter, you can't pay school fees and so on, and that's your simple job, then of course you've lost as a man. Of course that's stressful. But she doesn't understand because she's not been a man. As we as guys, women don't understand. Since you were a child, you've been fighting guys, competing, who's the funniest, who's the strongest.
Yeah.
You go the make fastest. The same. There was a girl in Denmark that changed gender okay? Mm. And she was crying in the interview because she said that jokes were so hard.
Mm.
Your friends will joke with everything. It is tough being a man, and that's the purpose of our life. Yeah. You tell a man, go into the bush and fucking survive for 4 months. He's gonna be, yes, it's a challenge, I'm fucking ready. You say it's a woman, she doesn't want to. So, you know, these things will always be there. There's nothing new under the sun. Reality exists as it is. They're gonna try to change it in the West. And what is gonna happen is everything's gonna go chaos. Because the opposite of God is the devil. And the opposite of the hierarchy of God, God, man, woman, is woman, man, and then the devil. And women at the top, the devil speaks to the woman. So, you know, you're basically giving the devil power if you give women power.
Okay, so
sorry for going off so much with my crazy tangents. It's interesting.
I'd want to know which podcast was this. You remember the name of the podcast?
Yeah, it's no, I don't remember, but I'm sure you can find it out. Big Kenyan podcast. There's like 8 girls sitting.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. You know, it's the biggest Kenyan. Maybe I can find it.
Was it over 25?
I wanted to know there were like 8 or 9 women, and I want to go in there and just destroy all those girls. You know, they should be with their husbands. Where are they, man?
Oh, shit.
No, but seriously, damn, they are like misleading people. I saw my girlfriend watch TikTok. She doesn't anymore because it ruins them. But she was basically seeing this beautiful woman speaking. And that woman had like 200,000 likes on the TikTok video. And she was saying absolute bullshit. But why was she viewed? She had beautiful eyelashes. That's how stupid women are. They'll look at a video and be like, oh, she's so beautiful. She must know what she's talking about. And she was basically telling women, I actually can't remember the weird video, but I remember being like, that's complete bullshit. Like, not close to truth.
Yeah, she was saying,
she wants a man, she was saying in the video, for me personally, and I think you girls deserve that also, if you want a man in your life, you have to have a man that will die for you, that will beg for you for 10 years before you accept him. Like any woman wants a man on his knees begging for her.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
She wants the man that walks away. It's completely insanity.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
but
yeah.
The women that's watch it because she has nice hair and she doesn't make up good.
Because I'd want to know, like, which because I know the one podcast that I know that has had a lot of girls at the same time used to be over 25. Yes?
Maybe.
So it was like 4 girls and they'd invite another bunch of girls. And but what are you talking about? What are you saying that they were talking about, those girls?
They were talking about how masculinity should find other ways to be provide.
Okay, than to provide.
And they were like, even if a man can't provide and he's feminine and he's weak, he should find other ways to be valuable. And I was like, bitch, it's been done since the dawn of time, and every single tribe and society that ever lived, they did like that.
Okay. So I don't know. I'd want to know which one is it. And because I think, like, now with the podcast space, there's always been one problem. You have women advising women about men, and you have men advising men about women. You understand? Like, there's this whole thing that's happening where people who understand very little about a subject end up being, you know, talking about. And then I was also talking about the westernization, where you'll find this woman is just regurgitating what she saw some Western woman talking about. You understand? And where if you disagree with that, you're like, no, you're not with the times, you're not with today. And, you know, that's the reason why the marriages are not working today.
Absolutely, I agree in that 100%. And but why do you think that every single, I want to hear your input on that, like, why is every single society, every single tribe, every single culture since the dawn of time had, you know, if they discuss politics, you know, it's around the fire and the women are far away in the Himba tribe of North America. Every tribe, I studied many tribes, women do not take decisions. They do one thing, they take care of the children and they talk and chit chat. So why have they done that like that in every society ever? There must be a reason, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's best that way.
It's interesting though. Interesting to hear it from a white guy, because I'd say that you are the people who've fucked it up for everyone.
Absolutely.
You understand?
Like,
you came up with these things where now women feel bad doing things that are natural to them,
because
they've been told by the white woman especially that don't do that shit. If you do that shit, it means he does not respect you.
Yeah.
So you find a woman who is with a man who loves and respects her 100%, but she's been given another definition of love by Hollywood, and then tries to bring this to real life. And you look at even Hollywood, like the divorce rates in Hollywood are ridiculous. Like, these are the last people to learn about love from.
They are slaves. Like, people in Hollywood are slaves. They're puppets to manipulate. It says in the Bible, do not worship false idols. Because if you really look up to your friend, you're going to start reflecting him.
So
if you really look up to people, so they use magic and Freemasonry. They use, like, they do child sacrifice, all kinds of stuff. The Freemasons. And they control people. Like, you know, I don't know any of the singers. Taylor Swift, Billie I saw a video with Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Where she's drinking a cup of blood, but it's dark, and it comes out of her eyes.
Yeah.
So that's obviously symbolizing the darkness is, you know,
I love
terrible.
That. I love that.
It's manipulation.
I love that video, though.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely terrible because it's 13, 12-year-old girls that are watching it. And, you know, they want the children because the children are easiest to manipulate. Yeah, I used to drink Fanta when I was young. I like Fanta now.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my childhood. Now, if my childhood gets reminded, you know, of all kinds of absurdities, then, you know, I think it's truly evil.
Okay. So now, Kenya, what have you learned about Kenya? What do you love? What do you hate so far?
Well, every Sunday I get woken up to people singing, you know, Jesu Christu. How do you say it in Swahili?
Jesu Christu.
Jesu Christu, you know. I love that. Being white, obviously people often want money from you and so on.
But I
really do like the Christian culture. I like how, I don't understand how they passed the homosexuality bill, because I have asked, I've talked to so many people, I've not met one that said, hey, I think gay should be married or gay should be legal.
What? So which bill did they pass? Did not pass.
I heard they bill, okay, maybe it didn't get passed, but I heard there was some homosexuality bill about making it legal to be gay in Kenya.
No, it was supposed to make it illegal. But then I think people are like, it's an issue right now. It's
really?
Not. It's,
I'm very sorry about that, because that's completely off then.
Yeah, it's an issue. Now in Uganda, it was made illegal. And even the consequences made more dire.
In that sense.
Yes. And but now on our side, we are like, you know, that's not, it's an issue. Like, there's no Kenyan seated somewhere worried about the gay community, you know, understand?
Well, I think the religious people are. Like the big pastor in Uganda, one of the biggest pastors, Martin Pastor Semper. I don't know if you've seen the interview. He's in that interview where he's eating cucumber. He's like, why are you gay?
I remember that.
That pastor is actually a very smart guy. He wrote a book on why homosexuality destroys the West. He studied like genius.
Yeah.
And he speaks about exactly how they, you know, and he says in Kenya, they paid them, you know, off to the politicians to, you know, not enforce the bill. Because we all, you know, there's billions of dollars coming from the rainbow people, you know, and in these villages, there's, you know, you see lesbians and gays and so on. And many people tell me that they get paid to promote that stuff.
Yeah. That rumor has been there. Yeah. Even Ian has thought about putting his ass on the line. No. I just kidding. But I think like
line.
For you, for you see, for I'd say for like a Europe and especially Western Europe, I'd say for Western Europe and America, North America, this is a big issue. For us, it's an issue. It's like one of those things where I think even the former president Uhuru Kenyatta was asked about it by Christian Amanpour, the reporter, and it was like, that's an issue. It's not something that we lose sleep over, because we have bigger stuff to deal with. So right now, if I was to hear Parliament in Kenya is discussing that, I'd be worried, because I'm like, we have bigger issues to
fry. Exactly, you have much bigger issues. 100% I agree, but it's weird how it then becomes suddenly something people talk about, because of the input of the West. And on that, why is it, maybe some people are wondering, like, why is the white people putting this, you know, disgusting culture and all these things that talk about that are problematic onto our lives? Well, it's because Scandinavia is the forefront and America is the forefront of evolution. And you all read the Bible and the story of Adam and Eve. Evolution is the death of man. The happiest people you'll find is the people in northern Namibia, a Himba tribe. They live in a tribe. They don't have anything, but they're happy. because everything's relative. You see, if you have a Ferrari, I have a Lamborghini, we're gonna compare, eh?
Yeah.
But in the tribe will be spears, but it's all relative. Like water is for a thirsty person as important as a car is for a rich person, you see? So the happiest people are the people in the tribe, and I believe that's the Garden of Eden referred to. And when they start going into agriculture and evolving and technology, that's the fall of man, and that's why we have our Savior to save us. So that's the story of
the Bible. So we didn't explore the politics in Denmark. So the politics in Denmark, I'm assuming there's the far left and the far right.
Yeah.
So the far right, I'm assuming, is anti-rainbow, anti-everything.
It's yeah, about but the barely. They don't even speak about the rainbow at all. Very little. But the left is starting to come up with the rainbow stuff, like Die Frie Grønne and stuff like that. They're talking about it. And, you know, you meet any Copenhagen, a girl, you know, many of them support it. And more young people support it. Because, you know, the people they see on TikTok and YouTube, they, you know, they all like that. So more and more people support it. And there have been some discussion on it. But in Denmark, you're allowed to transition if you're over 18. But you're allowed to take hormone blockers, which stop everything when you are, you know, 12.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, they can, it's just legal problems and this and that. But in other countries, so the problem in Denmark and the Scandinavia, the state is big, okay? So that means if the state is good, that's a good thing. If the state is bad, it's a bad thing. Now, there's something called abuse, okay? So if you abuse your child and beat them, they're allowed to remove the child from you.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What if it's seen as psychological abuse to not affirm the gender confusion of your child that is created by society? Now, on gender confusion, in the 80s, there was a cutting epidemic. Every girl started cutting, okay? You don't meet a group of 14-year-old girls where two of them are One Direction fans and two of them are Justin Bieber fans. They're all the same. And that's just how it is. So girls are insanely influenced by each other. And there was a study made on this. If they had a transgender friend, their probability of being transgender was like five-doubled, okay? And this is, transgender is not just a thing. It's literally mutilation of their genitals and infertility permanently, so they can never have children and create a family, which is the thing that keeps us together. We all know life can be fucking tough. But in the end of the day, you're fighting for your children and your wife and your mother. What are they? Their family. It's the closest people. And that is also what I want to say. That is what the devil is trying to do. The family is everything. Even if you're in God or not, it's the people you care for. It's the people you go to war for. It's the people you love with your heart. Now, he wants to split that. He wants to invert the hierarchy of God, make everything confusing, and destroy the family, and make children grow up seeing their father weak and their mother masculine, confuse the psychology, create complexes, and just destroy reality. Because that's what it is. That's what is happening.
Okay.
And that's why I'm here. Number one reason is my children. So Danish politics, again, the left, it's starting to increase, but it's not that much. But the far right are not Christians. There's one Christian Democrat and one Christian party, which has like 1% of votes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But there's the politics just about, you know, not important things, because there's not big issues really. It's like about many of it is like, why is school children more depressed and anxiety than ever before? And they have everything, they have so much, you know. But it's because I discovered that by traveling, when you get big problems and I'm stressed about dying, I come back, small problems that used to bother me, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And in Kenya, people are like, well, somebody says something ugly to me, I'm good, because I have bigger problems.
Yeah.
They're literally stronger. Tough times create tough men. Weak times create weak men. Danish men, Western men, classically very weak.
Okay. Yeah. So now you've moved to Kenya permanently? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good luck, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Good luck in your pursuit for the feminine woman. I think the advantage that Africa has is that, like, as much as the West is influencing us, we still have a lot of feminine women. So that means the family structure can maintain for some time.
Yes.
But I'm worried about our kids' generation, because Hollywood has an agenda. Actually, and with that agenda, families are going to be, I don't know what's going to happen.
You meet a girl in Kenya with a phone, and a girl without a phone. their opinions are going to be radically different.
Yeah.
So it's the phone, you know, it's the input from the West.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so yeah, man, thank you, Christopher, man.
Like, no problem. It was an honor being on your nice show.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see, like, the whitest guy with the most African views. I'm like, who the fuck is the African here, man?
Yeah, in some ways I'm African, some ways I'm white. So that's just,
yeah. So, yeah, episode
309.
Yeah, so 309, vila susama ga like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend. Tukimalizia 309, tukisama ekonene.